Welcome back to Holy Week on Through the Word. Today is Saturday, and today we wait. The Bible simply doesn't record any goings-on for this day. Now, a slow day is not unusual for Saturday in Jerusalem. It is the Sabbath, after all, the day of rest. But this is not a usual week. It is Passover, and this Passover week is like no other week in history. We've been following in the footsteps of Jesus each day. But where do we go today? Your reading today is 1 Corinthians 15, which is awesome. But whatever Jesus was doing, the disciples didn't know, not on Saturday. So put yourself in their shoes on this Sabbath day. They have followed Jesus for 3 years, but 2 days ago, Jesus told them, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." As Jesus reassured them that they know the way to the place where he was going, Thomas told him flatly, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It was an incredible claim. But for the disciples, what did it all mean? The gospel writers tell us that they didn't quite understand it all, not yet. Jesus had told them plainly that he must die on a cross and be raised again on the third day. But somehow, it didn't sink in. Things were much simpler when each day was simply spent following Jesus' lead. But what now? What next? Although the Gospels don't record any goings-on for Saturday, Luke gives us a clue what was happening through this whole weekend. In Luke 24, there's a Sunday morning story about two of Jesus' disciples who are walking along the road to a town called Emmaus. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, when a stranger approached to ask them what they were talking about. In verse 17, they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Clearly, this was the conversation that had been going on in every corner of Jerusalem. This Jesus of Nazareth, who was he? The phrase that gets me most is in verse 21. "We had hoped." Jesus brought so much hope. He was a prophet. Many thought the prophet, the Savior. He was powerful in word and deed. No one could deny the miracles. Even as they mocked him on the cross, they admitted that Jesus saved others. But he died on that cross. Where was that hope now? And what about Jesus' message? People were amazed at his teaching. He taught with authority. He taught on many things, of course, but the one subject that he always came back to was the kingdom of God. With Jesus gone, what would become of that kingdom? Which makes me think about one man in particular. I wonder what Joseph had to say, the man from Arimathea, who was brave enough to bury Jesus in his own tomb. Joseph is a very interesting fellow. If I could be there on Saturday, I would like to talk with him. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He saw it all, front row seat at the trial, there to the end. He spoke to Pilate, and Joseph would know more than anyone that Jesus was very much dead. Remember, the Sanhedrin had just voted to kill Jesus, so burying Jesus would risk his job, his reputation, everything. We don't know when Joseph decided that Jesus was worthy of honoring, whether he changed his mind after the trial, but we do know one thing that Mark tells us about Joseph. He was a man who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. I think you can tell a lot about a person by how they wait and what they are willing to wait for. Joseph was waiting for the kingdom of God. I wonder what the conversation was like in Joseph's home that day. I'm sure his wife had some questions about risking his reputation to honor a dead man. The real question, of course, who was that man? Just 6 days ago, the people lined the streets just outside the city as Jesus rode his way on a donkey, and the multitudes shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" The King. But was he the King? What about all those prophecies? Daniel 9, Psalm 118, Zechariah 9. It was the right day, the right lineage. He rode in on the donkey. Everything looked right. And who better to be king? Everyone heard how Jesus had taken on the crooked priests and restored prayer at the temple. Joseph was a part of the Sanhedrin. He would have been there when Jesus was questioned. He was spotless. Spotless like the Passover lamb. Passover. Joseph heard the story every year of his life. God rescued his people from oppression. God's people escaped death, saved by the blood of a lamb. But Jesus died. What kind of escape from death is that? And why was it so important that the Passover lamb be spotless anyway? Well, think about it. Let's say two men stand trial together, both found guilty, both sentenced to death. One man steps up to make a plea. I will gladly take this other man's sentence so that he may go free. Now, as generous as that sounds, it won't work. He can't die for himself and his friend. He can only pay one price. But Jesus had no price to pay for himself. Only a sinless man can die for the sin of another. But Joseph may not have put all that together just yet. I'm sure that he did think about the trial. He was there. Why didn't Jesus speak up? Why didn't he defend himself? The only thing he would answer was questions about who he was. Are you the Christ? Yes. Are you the King of the Jews? Yes. But what good is that if he's dead? And why was it so important to Jesus? I wonder what Joseph thought of that sign above Jesus' head as he took the dead body down from the cross. King of the Jews. Did he save it? Was it a sign fit for a grave marker or memorial or just a painful reminder of hope gone by? Waiting for the kingdom of God is not an easy wait. I think I know why this was so important. Sometime earlier, Jesus had asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" There were lots of things that people said about Jesus, amazing things. But then Jesus got to the real question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was right, and Jesus told him, "On this rock I will build my church." Now, I don't think that Jesus was building his church on Peter. I believe that he was saying that the rock of the church is who Jesus is. That is our foundation. That is why Jesus only responded to that one question. It was the one thing that mattered. That is why a battalion of soldiers fell to the ground when Jesus simply stated who he is. Who was this man? Who is the King of the Jews? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so there is Joseph on Saturday, still waiting, waiting for the kingdom of God. And I think that is what faith is about. The whole Bible is the ongoing story of God planning and preparing his kingdom and his king. And so his people wait in faith for the king to rise.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.